With Hashem's help, we are learning the book Gan HaShalom from Rav Shalom Arush. We are in chapter 2 on page 36. We've just reviewed 4 different reasons why Hashem might be trying to send us a message. Hashem uses our wives as our message service. He doesn't use email. He doesn't text message. And he doesn't send messages for sure on Facebook. Hashem goes the direct route to our wife. And we have 2 choices. We can ignore it, or we can pay attention. Free choice. If we pay attention, we can learn a lot, we can grow a lot, and we can make ourselves, our wives, our families much happier. Hashem just wants what's good for us. Sometimes it has to come in a way which is difficult. Shalom Bayit is not, it's not fun when it's not going right. It's quite an apt time at the moment when the 3 weeks is based on the destruction of Hashem's house. And we're talking here about the destruction of our own house. In particular in this chapter, the easiest and quickest way to destroy one's own Shalom Bayit is by criticism. By criticizing our wives leads to destruction of our own home. And it's a very apt time to focus on this. Now, Chas v'Shalom, we should not destroy our own homes. By rectifying our own homes, we do a tikkun. When we have Shalom Bayit, we bring back the Shekhinah into our house, into our homes, into our lives. And when the Shekhinah is dwelling in our home, we have unbelievable blessings. We have good health, we have good parnassah. We find that things don't break, the washing machine doesn't break, the oven doesn't break, the toilet doesn't leak. All the things that were happening, now, for Hashem, everything seems fine. Why? Because the Shekhinah's there. When the Shekhinah's there, everything's good. So we want the Shekhinah back in our home, just like we want the Shekhinah back in its home, in his home. And our job, when we successfully bring the Shekhinah back into our home, we're doing a not small part of bringing back Hashem into his home. Right? We're simply a reflection down here, and up there, it's simply a reflection. So what do we need to do to bring the Shekhinah back into our home? What we need to do is not destroy it, not to criticize our wife. We had 4 examples of what Hashem might be showing us when we're upset with our wives. The wives are a mirror for us, and we can learn from them. So the first 4 that we just learned, first of all, we learned Mida Kenegan Mida. If my wife is not listening to me, maybe because I'm not listening to Hashem. Next, we said, if my wife has a bad midah, then it's really my bad midah. If she's angry, then actually I've got a bad midah of anger. Number 3, we said that Hashem shows us through our wives what we need to correct. If I am full of ga'ava, my wife will make fun of me and embarrass me, because I'm looking for respect. If I'm full of lust for women, my wife won't go near me, because that's what I'm looking for, right? And it's negative. And Hashem is showing me what I need to fix by the way she's acting towards me. That was number 3. Number 4, we said that she's a reflection of us. What does that mean? The way we act towards her is the way she acts towards us. If we treat her like a queen, she treats us like a king. But as we mentioned yesterday, it's how we are acting underneath, not the surface. She doesn't reflect the surface, she reflects the true intention underneath. So she will not be nice to us if we're only being nice for ulterior motives. Yofi, those are the first four. Number five. So number five is a little bit different. It's not a reflection, but it's something that we can learn, or it's something to know. Number five here, Rav Arush says, Amru Chazal, Chazal told us, Shekol sheyesh lo isha ra'ah, eino ra'ah p'nei gehinnom.
Which paragraph?
This is paragraph Hey at the bottom of page 36.
Okay.
So we learn from Chazal, we learn from our rabbis, that anyone who is married to what is termed here an evil woman, a bad woman, it depends how you want to term ra'ah, a bad woman, a difficult woman, right? Anyone who is suffering from that is spared Gehinnom. V'sha'alu b'gemara, they ask in the Gemara, what are we meant to learn from this? Bahashivu, and they answer over there in the Gemara, Lekabelet ze bahava. We need to learn from this to receive it with love. To receive the fact that I believe my wife is bad. I believe it can happen that there's such a thing of a wife who is bad. If I've gone through all of these other points and I'm absolutely clear that it's not simply a reflection of me, that Hashem is not trying to teach me something, and that I have nothing whatsoever to fix, then there is such a thing, Rav Arush teaches us, as receiving from Shemayim a difficult marriage. Why? In order that you escape from Gehinnom. Zot omeret she'adam she'yesh lo isha ra'ah. That means to say that a person who has this so-called evil wife, tzarich lekabel et zebahava, needs to receive it, accept it with love. Ba'yidei ze mitkaper lo onesh hagin gehinnom. And through this, he is mitkaper, he atones. This atones for the punishment of Gehinnom. He suffers down here and he won't have to suffer up there. Right? If you're married to the devil, then you should know it's actually a kindness from Hashem. And it's so that you suffer a little bit down here, maybe even a lot, unfortunately, but it spares you Gehinnom, which is much worse. And we should also know that before we came down here, we agreed to it all anyway. Right? Upstairs in Shemayim, when Hashem said, this is what you're going down to, this is what's going to happen to you, do you agree? We agreed to it anyway. So we've got no complaints. We said, yes, give me the suffering down there and I won't have to go to Gehinnom. Right, so there's another inyan here that we're seeing, that there is a possibility that that's my tikkun. My personal tikkun is that I need to suffer this. Why? Don't know. Could be many different reasons. Maybe in a previous lifetime, I beat up my wife. Maybe. And now, in this Gilgul, I need to go through difficulties in my marriage in order to make amends for that. And that's great, because when I got to heaven after my previous Gilgul and I saw the truth and I realized what I'd done, I was begging to let me come back down and suffer a little bit just to try and make up for it, right? But now, in this Gilgul, I don't realize that. So now, I think I'm great. I don't deserve this. Why do I deserve a difficult marriage? That's not fair. I'm a very nice guy. Yeah, for sure. This time round, you are a very nice guy. But who knows who knows who you were last time round? Who knows? Right? So there is an inyan that suffering is to atone. And we should receive it with love.
Yeah.
How do you know?
So only when you meet Tani.
How do you know when you haven't? You're right. So the answer is we don't know. And so that's why the Gemara asks the question, so what is the point in telling me this? And the answer over there is so that you can accept it with love. Meaning, I don't know where this is coming from or what the reason is, but you know what? I'm going to accept it with love anyway.
Let's say, okay, this is from I have not yes. fixed something. You say, oh, I have not fixed, I accept the offer. So you're not fixing something.
No, you're right. It's best, it's good to fit to accept something with love anyway. Whatever happens, it's good to accept love. So it's not a problem. It's not like a not something that we shouldn't do. For sure we should accept everything with love. But also to look and see what it is that Hashem is trying to teach me. Because we should know, this is not necessarily an alternative. This could also be an addition. What do I mean? Because a person can say, look, I understand Hashem is trying to teach me something. Hashem wants me to work on my anger. Hashem wants me to fix my midah of ga'avah. But why did he just show me? Why do I need to suffer? I'm dafka suffering. So why am I suffering? I'm suffering because it's atoning for my sins. So even though I need to still look and see what the reason is that I need to fix, I might have a question of why is Hashem making me suffer? Tell me what I need to fix, and I'll fix it. Oh, I need to suffer as well. Am I suffering here? Shalom bayit is not pleasant when it's not going right. So here we're learning from our Arish that actually suffering is something that is come to fix us, come to atone for our sins, and we should actually be very grateful. He goes on to explain here a bit further. Kibalti mi Rabbi Vemori, I received from my teacher, Harav Levi Yitzhak Bender, Rav Levi Yitzhak Bender. Shalova Isha Shimakal Kelet or Marbitsa Nikret Ishara. We're not just talking about a wife who curses or hits her husband, right? Not that extreme. Ella b'chol ofen, in any fashion, any way that a husband receives some type of suffering from his wife, for example, even small things, for example, a person has a wife who's not so organized.
That's considered an ishara.
Well, that's what he's teaching us now, right? She doesn't wash every day, right? And that causes her husband a little bit of, it's not so nice, I'd prefer if she did, right? Harehi bichlal isha ra'a. This is included in the definition of isha ra'a. Why? We're going to see why. V'chen muva b'gemara, like it says in the Gemara, she'afilu im mechina lo suda yafa. Even a person, even a wife, who prepared for a husband a beautiful meal. Ella she mafna la e gaba amanat la tseoto. But she turned her back on him in order to make him feel bad. So she prepared a nice suda, laid it all out, said, here you go, sit down, my husband. And he was just about to say something, ask her a question. I know what he's going to say. And she turns her back and walks away deliberately in order to make him feel bad. Even if she did that, that's an isha ra'a. Zohi isha ra'a. This is an isha ra'a. An evil woman. Va'afilu isha shehi masuderet unakiyah yotemidai. Even a woman who is extremely organized and extremely clean, yotemidai, like overly much, too much. Gamhi bichlal isha ra'a. Also, this is called an isha ra'a too. Why? Sharei kasher ma'od lenahel chayim b'toch muzeum. Because it's very hot, it's very difficult to live your life in a museum. If you have a wife who is very, very machmir about that, you don't leave your empty coffee cup on the table. Please put it back in the sink as soon as you finish the last sip, right? Etc. Before late, right? Don't leave your socks on the floor when you take them off, right? That is called isha ra'a. That's a good wife. She cleans up. She's careful about her house. Isha ra'a. Right? Any husband who has a wife who fits within this definition of isha ra'a, which is probably most of us at some point in our lives, meaning that he has from her some sort of suffering in whatever fashion. You should know that it's not the intention that she's being evil from her own personality, from her own self. She's not trying to be evil. Ki imyesh lo yisurim, elu surim shemagin lo al pidin, sherei ein yisurim lalava. Because those sufferings that he received, they only came to him al pidin. They came to him from a letter of the law. I deserve them. The Gemara teaches us, and Rav Arash mentions in several of his books, there is no suffering, Rav Nachman writes it explicitly, ein yisurim b'lo avon. There is no suffering without prior transgression. The only reason I suffer at all in any account is because it was magia li. I deserved it. I have sinned. I, believe it or not, I'm not yet a complete tzaddik. Right? I do things that are wrong daily. Most of them I don't even realize, but some of them I definitely even do realize. Right? And Hashem doesn't want to store all that difficulty up, all that consequences. So, he's very kind. Instead of giving me what I deserve, which is perhaps a very nasty punishment, then there is actually a big kindness. What's his big kindness? So there's an example is stoning. Stoning in the Torah. What is stoning? So stoning in the Torah is not that people come at you and start throwing stones. No, actually what they do in the classical definition, a person deserves death by stoning, it's breaking Shabbos or breaking one of the major laws. First of all, they push you off a cliff.
3 stories.
Right? And if you're not dead after that, they take this huge boulder. It's not a stone, it's a huge boulder, and they drop it on you. Tov. We won't go into the reasons why, but that's called stoning. Now, if a person in our lifetime is guilty of a transgression which would require stoning from Shemayim, Lafi Shirat Adin, from the letter of the law, that's what you deserve. Yeah? You ate the cheeseburger and you really shouldn't. You drove to the beach on Shabbos and you really shouldn't. And probably most of us have done something in one of those categories at some point in our lives. Then actually, we deserve chas v'shalom, such a big punishment. But what does Hashem do? Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to be merciful on you. Instead of taking that big, huge boulder and dropping it on your head, I'm going to smash that boulder up into little itty bitty pebbles, about the size of a pea. There'll be a lot of them, but you know what? Every so often, I'm going to have to flick them at you. And it's going to hurt. But it's not going to hurt as much as if I had to put the big bowls on your head. You know, I think so. It's actually a big kindness that we get all these little yisurim. The fact that my wife reminds me for the 15th time to pick up my socks from the bedroom floor. And I get upset about it that my wife's so machmir. Can't she leave me alone? Now actually that's a big benefit. Hashem gave me a big kindness, that he's broken up my huge punishment, which I really deserve, and made it into something very small that I can actually live with quite easily. Toby, if a person reads the book, The Garden of Gratitude, there's a lot more on that subject, and it's something worth looking at. So here we're learning that any suffering that a person receives from his wife is also in that category. We should actually be grateful for it. It's a big kindness. It means that we'll enjoy Olam Haba forever in a very nice way because we suffered a little bit down here. Okay. Let's continue. This is what he deserved. So why should he complain about his wife? Is she to blame that he's suffering? No. She's just a stick in the hands of Hashem. Right? Who is it that like Kabbalah Hochacha Shekalosh Baruch Hu? Instead of shouting at her, the husband actually needs to receive the rebuke from Hashem. To admit that it's correct. Hashem, you're right, I deserve this right now. And to awaken and do tshuva. Okay, next paragraph.
Who will awaken
the tshuva? I will, me.
The man,
yeah, the woman has no tshuva to do in this world, even though it looks like she does. She's just here because I'm the one who needs to do tshuva. I mean, she should do tshuva because that's the way of the world and that's what's expected of every Jew, but it's not crucial to her tikkun.
How is it? You get Bezalon mail from outside people at home. Is he not in the level to have a wife?
Could be, right? If I can't accept Bezalon from my wife, right? Meaning either I ignore it, or even worse, I make her life suffer because she's given me bizayon, so now she doesn't give me bizayon anymore because she's too afraid. She's not going to say anything to me, right? So if Hashem can't use my wife as the message, he's going to have to use someone else. And when it comes from someone else, it can be a lot worse. Right, to get bizayon from our wives is a kindness. It's a kindness. David HaMelech, when he, in his Psalms, when he suffered at the hands of his children, Absalom tried to kill him, and this one was, everything was going wrong, but from inside his family, in Tehillim, he thanks Hashem that it came from someone close. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me the rebuke from someone close, because they would have more mercy on me. He knows that even though they're my family, my son's trying to kill me, I know it's coming from my son. Tov, at least I can deal with him. If it's coming from someone else, a third party that was trying to kill me, how can I reason with whoever it is? So he was grateful that it came from someone close. We know that we can also, if someone comes and attacks you, you don't even know, what are you going to, you're going to be stuck. If it's your wife, Tov, you talk about it, you relax, you get over it, you make it better. It will also increase any shalom bayit problems that we deal with correctly, just increase the bond between a husband and wife. They strengthen it. Right? A marriage that's never been tested, we know it's not strong. It's just that two people happen to be living together. So they're called husband and wife, but they're not really together. Only after they've tested each other and got through it and now resolved the problems. Now we're strong. Right? Now we're so it's actually it's a very good thing. Hayesod she ishto shel adam hi mareshelo. The principle that the wife is the mirror of the husband. Hu hadavar rishon she miviat adam shelo la'ir ishto shum hara b'tachlit. This is the first thing that will bring a husband never to criticize his wife. Right? If we remember this principle that the wife is a mirror, this is going to be the main thing which stops us criticizing our wife. Because each time that I see something in my wife that's not correct, immediately I look in myself for what there is to fix. Sharei mashu hu ra'etz la, zo ha-babua shelo, shemishta peket ba-kibri. Right? Because anything I see in her is simply a question of looking in the mirror. V'chi adam sh'ro'e b'ri sh'chutza shelo mekutemet. And just like we said, a person who sees in a mirror and he sees that his shirt is needs fixing, does he try and fix the mirror? No, he fixes himself. And Zelo Ya'azola. And so too, he knows that if he tries to fix the shirt in the mirror, it's not going to help. It's not going to fix the shirt in the mirror. It doesn't work. V'hi lo tityasher, and it won't get fixed. U'bidyoth kach, and exactly this. Ha'arasha lo lishto lo tishaneh etzlam umma. Person should know that any criticism he gives to his wife does not fix anything. Not only will he not fix anything, he's just going to destroy. His criticism will awaken in his wife, suffering and anger, and it will lead her to tears and to being broken. Adam, she'ein lo et hadat hazo. A man who doesn't have this awareness. Azay al kochi sawon shu ra'et lishto hu mitzta'er. Any problem that he sees in his wife, he gets worried. Choshev she'hi lo b'seder. He thinks she's not okay. My wife's got a problem, and I start to worry about it. And he starts to think to himself, what have I done? Worries about his own sin. What sin has befallen me that I've been chosen to receive a woman like this? Right? He doesn't connect it to something that I need to work on. I think I must have been such a bad person that Hashem is punishing me with an evil wife. If I was a good person, he would have given me a tzedeket. But he didn't give me a tzedeket. He's given me a bad wife with really bad midot. So obviously, I just must be a bad person. It's not what we're looking for. Ech rima oto hashadchan. So then he starts to blame the shadchan. The shadchan lied to me. The person who set me up, he lied to me. So I've got to blame someone else. I can't blame myself. So I'm going to look for someone to blame. So am I going to blame? If it was a shidduch, I'm going to blame the shadchan for not telling me that she's actually really not a nice person. How can he make such a mistake to set me up with such a woman? This is not my bashert. It can't be my bashert. I'm a tzaddik, and this can't be my bashert because I'm such a tzaddik. Right? He starts to have all these questions. And of course, he thinks that it's his obligation to give her musa, to set her straight. La'il laharot, to criticize her. Levazotata, to disgrace her. Bishvil la'oreota, lazarazez ota, lishtanot, in order to awaken her up so that she changes her ways. And she starts to fix herself. And of course, it's going to be very difficult for him to love her. Because he doesn't see the good in her. Right? He doesn't see the good in her. If I see the bad, how am I going to love my wife? And for sure, Hashem is going to test me in this area. No one is married automatically to a tzaddiket unless you happen to be a tzaddik gamor when you married her. And even then, maybe Hashem wants to test you. Right? So it's going to happen, guys. You're going to see things in your wife which Hashem is going to put into your mind. This isn't good. This is not a good trait. I don't like that. It's going to happen. And we can fall, chas v'shalom, into thinking this is a problem. She's not right. She's not a kosher woman. This is not right. Something's wrong here. This can't be my bashert. Oy vavoy. Nachon. So Rav Arish explains here in this chapter that she's a mirror. She's trying to, Hashem is using her to show us what we need to fix. If we forget that she's a mirror, then we fall into all sorts of problems. Mostly to criticism. But also, Rav Arish is explaining right now, there's another problem. The problem is we destroy our marriage with our own two hands. Right? We think she's not the right wife for me. We think, chas v'shalom, they fooled me. she fooled me, she was nice to me when we were dating, and actually she just hid her real self from me. Whatever other demonot imaginations we might come, that Yetzirah might put into our head, right? All of this is because we haven't learned the fundamental. The fundamental thing is Hashem is simply giving me a message. Hashem wants me to fix myself. My wife is actually a tzaddiket. She really is. She's not got all these bad midot. The only reason she has these bad midot is Hashem is showing me, teaching me, talking to me. If I get the message, the midah goes away. If I fix myself, the midah goes away. Avarish told us that just like when you see a problem in the mirror, you don't fix the mirror, but you fix yourself. And as soon as you fix yourself, miraculously, the problem in the mirror fixed itself all by itself. I didn't have to say a word to it. It just cleared up. So too, exactly with our relationship between us and our wives. If we see a problem, I need to look at myself, find out what the problem is in myself, and fix it in myself. And suddenly my wife is back to being a tzaddiket again. Wow. She doesn't have that problem anymore. She's not shouting at me anymore. Wonderful. I had a friend who called me with Shalom Bayit problems. We spoke for an hour, hour and a half on the phone. I basically told him things that I'm telling you now. I have my wife Shalom's book. He's a good Jew, he's a frum Jew. He was just missing the fundamental pieces of the picture. A few weeks later, he called me up and he said to me, Reuven, he said to me, my wife made me chocolate cake this morning. I'm like, wow, that's very nice. He said, no, Reuven, you don't understand. He said, my wife made me chocolate cake. I said, yeah, I heard. He said, in 22 years of marriage, she's not made me chocolate cake. Today she made me chocolate cake. Reuven. We should know that what Rav Arish tells us is the truth. And the more we are able to put in practice what he says, the more we will also see the rewards. Thank you. Shabbat Shalom.